count it all joy when you fall into various temptation, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Church, when you see Ronaldo in a situation, you pray patience over me. You say, Father, I pray for the fruits of the Spirit over Ronaldo. Give him long suffering that he may endure to be crowned with glory. Don't take him out of that furnace, Lord, because you are his shield. You plan his day. Let me get on your page and pray for these fruits to be developed in his life.
There's one thing for certain that we can count on is that change will come. Our growth in Christ requires it. Saints, we must understand that God is in control even in the midst of our trials. Matthew verse 23 states, Jesus and his disciples were on a boat crossing the sea when a great storm arose, and the disciples woke Jesus in fear that they may perish. And he said unto them, Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Come, let's join Mr. Ronaldo Duncanson as he explains.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to be doing some sniffling today, because that's just where I'm at physically. And my wife is not here today. She is down with the sniffles too, but she would have still be here if the babies wasn't down with the sniffles. So she is there with them, and God is good to my household. I take no thought of their condition, because God is faithful. Hallelujah. He is faithful. So, I just want to recap from the last time I was up here. You know, we talk about the Sabbath day and really what's the true meaning of the Sabbath day, and it was about God's children being deceived, taken into slavery, abused, and the Father made a promise, says, I'm going to make a way for you to come back to me. So it says, the Bible says it pleases the Lord to bruise his right hand. And that was so beautiful to me, because in my household, we live off of one income. And you know what? I watch my wife do what she do, and she do it so aggressively that, you know, she has to give herself a manicure just to keep her hands. But me, on the other hand, these are the hands of a working man for his family. And when God says it pleases him to bruise his right hand, that means he went to work for his children. Amen? He went to make a way for his children to come home. Now, I think the North Pole to Fairbanks is about 13, 15 miles, somebody close. 20, says somebody in the audience. Okay, we're going to go with that. But for a child, let's say Billy's age, that's a forever road to walk up here. For a child Jude 8, it gets a little more easier. For Josh, it's no problem at all, you know. But this is what God says. He made a way for his children to come home. No shotgun. No, you must. But listen, I went to work for you because I desire you to come back home. So the Israelites, when they were freed from Egypt, they began this journey to the promised land through the desert. That's where we at today. That's where we at today. We're on that road, and we're in different stages on that road, because we have, some of us been walking for a while. But don't despise your youth. Don't despise your youth, because this race ain't for the swift. This is for those who endure to the end, because God promised you, if you stay on this road, you're going to make it to the promised land. And you're going to grow in the process. Hallelujah. Sister Minister Eureka spoke about a week or two ago about the process. And that process is this walk that we're on and the growth we're going in the midst of it. And sometimes we sit down and whine like little children and whack, as you know, things are just so hard for us and we want to stop and don't want to go no further. And yeah, what we don't want to do is turn back. You know, it's okay to stop in the road because I'm weak. But remember what your father said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you want to stop here and take a break and cry, it's okay. I'm going to be right here with you. And then we're going to get up and walk again. Because we got a promised land. We're on a journey to go somewhere. So turning back should never be a thought in our life. It should never be a thought in our life. Even when we struggle and we think about the things, and we think about where we come from and the good onions and the bad eating that we claim was good, we tend to want to go back. This is where they call it the rubber meets the road. This is where it gets real. This is where it gets real. You know, this is where is God who he say he is, or am I just like a big fig tree with no fruit on it? I'm just looking the part. This is where it gets real. Amen. So, hallelujah. What we're going to talk about today is the liberty we have in Christ. Scripture says that who the Son set free, who the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. Who the Son set free is free indeed. Remember, we were deceived, taken into slavery, and our father came and dealt with our master. Remember Jesus talking to the, the religious folks, the Pharisees, about them accusing him that you use Satan to cast out that boy. And Jesus says, well, that don't make no sense. No kingdom fight against itself will stand. No household fight against itself will stand. Come on, you Bible thumpers. You know this. You know, kingdoms don't fight against itself. He says, but let's get this straight. Before I can free this boy, my child, I got to deal with the man who got him in bondage. I got to deal with the strong man. Before you can take a possession out of a man's house, you got to deal with the man himself first. So, if you are in Christ, the strong man in your life has been dealt with. So we want to look at the liberty we have in Christ. Who the Son set free is free indeed. What are we free from? Our bills? Are we free from sickness? Are we free from depression? What are we free from? You know, a while back I asked the Lord to teach me. I'm always asking the Lord stuff. You know, it's like I'm in my own little world. I got to talk to the Lord. And I had to ask the Lord to teach me this liberty that I have in Christ. Doesn't that sound good? Teach me this freedom, Lord. I mean, come on, man. You say Christ set me free. I need to know what this is. I mean, you know, I need to know what this liberty is. And the Bible also says that we need not anyone teach us, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that he gave us, will teach us all things. But we have to learn to ask God. We have to learn to talk to him. You know, we have to learn to talk to him. I think one of the cutest things to me is when my little five-year-old come and asks me to play video games. It's like, I'm down with that. He's like, teach me, Daddy, how to do this. And I'm excited about that because that's a good excuse to play some video games. But more importantly, you know what I mean? I'm looking at the excitement on his face. And even though he's telling me how to do it, he's still excited that I'm there. You know, so the liberty we have in Christ, we need to know. It's important that we know this liberty. If we don't know this freedom that we have, how would we be able to enjoy it? I mean, how would we be able to enjoy this freedom if we don't even know what this freedom is? I mean, granted, we walk into a desert. We walk in to go somewhere. But he says we have freedom. Okay. How would we know to enjoy it? Let's look at this for instance. Say, for instance, a relative you don't know left you a large inheritance and nobody told you about it. See, you can be a billionaire, but you're working 18 hours a day, two jobs, paycheck to paycheck. It's because you don't know that you have this inheritance that's there for you. That's how the Bible says we perish. My people die from a lack of knowledge. So we don't know about this inheritance that's left for us. We just spend our days working, 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 and working some more. You know? I mean, gosh, so we have to know. We have to know these things that the Bible says that are ours. And better yet, God has to teach us how these things operate and how they benefit us and all that good stuff so we truly can enjoy this walk. And if you obtain this knowledge of this inheritance that's left for you, it changes your life. You know what I'm saying, Josh? You got millions of dollars on an account and you're struggling with your business. Automatically your business changed. Your wife, your kids' life changed. The people around you, life changed. Everybody that's in contact with you, everything changes for them. Just by obtaining knowledge. You know, in the Hebrew language, knowledge, light, means knowledge, and darkness, ignorance. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, God says, my people die from a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. You know, without knowledge or understanding of what we possess, we could be living a lesser life, or even worse, we can be dying. According to God's word, my people die. So if we live in a lesser life, it means we're headed to death. Just by having the absence of knowledge. Thank you, Lord. Okay. To understand this liberty, we're going to need to look at what we were liberated from. So if you would, turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 15. But I'm going to start reading from verse 14. And I'm going to use the NIV version just because I like the wording there. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he may break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. This is key right here. verse 15, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. One version said held in bondage by the fear of death. God, through Jesus, freed us from death. God's word says that we were held in bondage because of the fear of death. We live lesser lives because of the fear of death. Man, that's such an old school tactic. You know, I raise pit bulls in the Bahamas, and really to get them to bow down to you, you have to put a fear in them. To fear you and disrespect others. I mean, we bred violent dogs. It's just because of the, what do you want to call it? The people who bought the dogs were just drug dealers, so they just use them for protection. But fear holds you bondage. Pimps use fear to control. The presence of the enemy brings fear to control. This is what kept us in bondage, fear. He says we were kept in bondage all of our lives because of the fear of death. It caused us to live a lesser life. Let me give you an example of a lesser life. This morning you wake up, you prayed, had your coffee, had your breakfast, start your day. You go to work. All of a sudden, heart start to hurt. You pass out. Maybe just fall down. Still conscious. You know, coworker, somebody calls the ambulance for you. I think it's the EMT guys. They come in and look you over. Oh, yep, got to take her for a ride. She ain't too well. In fact, she is just praying. Throw you inside the ambulance. They sit there, communicate with you. You know, go and run in their tests and stuff like that. You get to the hospital, they pass you over to the nurse. Nurse stick an IV in you, make you all comfortable. Doctor come in, he check you out. His shift over, nurse come in, doctor come in. 2 days, they kept you there. Church praying for you. Church praying for you. Doctor come in, doctor go. Nurse come in, nurse go. Couple days pass. Doctor says, okay, we find nothing. You can go home. Of course, we get out of there. We're going to thank the Lord. You're a keeper, Lord. Hallelujah. Enemy was close, but God stepped in. Does anybody identify the lesser life in that? How many people since falling down and leaving the hospital had you had come in contact with? And because something is going on with us, It brought in the lesser life. Hear what I'm saying? No doubt you're feeling pain. No doubt your symptoms are real. Maybe the fear of death is creeping in. But something have us in a frozen state that we're taking our eyes off the Lord and more concerned about us and what he promised us. Did God not say that he is a shield for the righteous? He's your rock, he's your refuge, I'm your stronghold. If I be for you, none can be against you. I want you to understand the bondage of fear that comes in and renders us helpless. Listen, prayer is good. You know what I mean? If God plans your day, he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. You know, repentance is really changing the way you think. You know, we are liberated or are we not? I'm just trying to take us to a place where we walk in this road where, you know what? To live or die in Christ is a gain. We get so busy walking is that the things that come out against us. You know, when the church start to pray for us, I think sometimes they pray against God. It's like, Lord, take this away from Shauna. God says her faith is worth more valuable than gold. You know, this may be the furnace of affliction where I'm refining her, but you're asking me to remove it? Do I not plan her day? Am I not for her? I know. But a little bit of pain, you know, it's like a lion in a circus. And you're wondering, how do they get this man-eating beast to jump through a hoop? Whoopsh! Just threaten him with a little bit of pain. And all of a sudden, he doubting he's even a lion. That is such a bondage. But God says he liberates us from the fear of death. John 8 and 51 says, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Psalms 37 and 23 says, the steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. Philippians 1 and 29, for you it has been guaranteed on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know, the beauty of us going through trials is that God show up in the midst of it. If we don't get taken to me, trials is like fasting. If we don't get taken to a place where we're weak, we will never see God's strength. I'm telling you, man, either we're going to purpose in our heart that, you know what, God, even when I can't praise you, like Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, even if God don't show up, I know he could deliver me. I mean, it's a beautiful walk with the Lord where we purpose, God. We purpose that, you know what? I'm going to stay the path. And the path ain't only me walking. The path is me building the Father's house. I'm going to be about the Father's business because he got mine. He got me. You know what I mean? If this person that collapsed at work sit in a valuable time with a EMT personnel in an ambulance, so concerned about their self, forgot to share the word. You know, when Jesus came to town, he came on a donkey. I would choose another word, but he came on a donkey. Sometime your illness may just be the donkey God is riding you into town with. But make no mistake, you go to the hospital, you are the physician. I'm just saying. Some people believe that God can heal you. I believe God can keep it away. Bought and paid for, say my own. Bought and paid for with the blood of Christ. If Eve's body, Eve and Adam, can manifest death through it, then surely life will manifest through this. Just wait till my kingdom show up. Just saying, hallelujah. You know, the problem is that we give Satan too much credit. I was guilty of this. We give him too much credit. Too much credit. Does anyone here know Dr. Miles Monroe? Beautiful spiritual father of mine. Just so you know, his church in the Bahamas, the Diplomat Center, was a drive-in theater that I used to sleep in the parking lot at, jumping the fence, cutting a hole in the fence. When I was 6, 7 years old, me and my older brother, my dad used to come there and wake us up 3 a.m. in the morning, movie's over, everybody laugh. Surely you don't want to do that in this day and age. But he was a spiritual father that God had really, really anointed. He died, I want to say about a year or two ago. And when I received the news, of course, the Bahamas texted me right away, and I was like, oh my God, Lord, what happened? This was your man. You know, I know Jesus, Paul, Billy Graham, and then Miles. As far as delivering souls, I mean, you know, when you can't fit on the television, the amount of people you're ministering to, you know, you got, I'm just saying, Lord, you know, and he was leaving the capital of the Bahamas, which is Nassau, headed to Freeport, the second city. And because of the weather, the plane flew low and hit a crane at the airport. And now I'm even more confused because, Lord, not only your man, the weather listens to you. And I heard the Lord say to me, and it changed my life, who says that is beyond me? That's what I heard. And God know what to say to you to give you understanding. And right off the bat, he said, in the name of Jesus. Then I became jealous. Listen, this man was leaving from one church to another to go minister. He had his wife on the side of him in a jet that God gave him with his first pastor, and he was taken home suddenly. I was like, oh, Lord, what a glorious exit. I mean, that don't sound right, but he met his quota. He was taken home with his wife in a painless state. That was like in a twinkling of an eye. And then I began to just meditate on really what I was hearing the Holy Spirit say. And then I was understanding the liberty we have in Christ and what he set us free from. See, the enemy cannot take a life. He may be death, but he cannot take a life. If the enemy had the power to take life, one swoop, and then he would say, but he cannot take a life. Miles Monroe had a set time in this earth. That's why the enemy is a thief of time. He's just trying to steal the time that you have here waiting for death to come to you. He can't speed it up. He can't take it away, but he can utilize it. He either would have you not to choose God or to be useless to God. He's a thief of time. In fact, time is his. because he's bound by time. He's bound by time. Death is bound by time. He has a set time. That's why the demon says, Lord, have you come before the appointed time? Because they have time. Here's what God says. When he comes and he removed the father of death, you will spend eternity with him. You know why? Time went with death. See, the thing is about death, it needs time. It needs time. Death takes away. It shows decay until it's dust. But life is consistent. Life is consistent. It's almost as if I had an apple and death attached itself to it, it's only a matter of time before it vanished into dust. But if I had an apple and life was attached to it, it'll forever be an edible apple. We're just talking about the credibility we need to take back from the enemy. Understand that if you're in a situation God will plant your day, don't get dismayed. He's going to show you something in the midst of it. It's this process. He's going to take you to a new place because he needs you to stand firm in who he is to tell people the truth. Let me tell you something about death. Death is the enemy, and the enemy is dark. The enemy is ignorant. I say that because the Bible says that. Let me share a few things about the enemy. The enemy was the bright morning star. He had it all. And he lost it through ignorance. When man fall, all of the children in this earth belongs to the enemy. That's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit only came up on man and left, because he couldn't make his dwelling because they were still unclean. This is the reason for Christ. So the enemy had all of us. Had all of us. And he lost it. The enemy spent all of his time searching for the word, trying to destroy it, Jesus, and didn't even realize it would be his end. Darkness, absence of light, straight ignorant. That's just who the enemy is. Listen to the prophet Balaam. In Numbers 23, verses 8. This was a prophet hired to curse God's children while they're walking on this road, while they're headed to the promised land. He was brought in to curse the Israelites. In verse 8, he says, "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced?" Here is Balaam saying, how can I curse Josh if God says he's blessed? I want to show you how bound the enemy hands is. When God set us free from the fear of death, he really was liberating us. How can the enemy attack you if God defends you? How can I curse what God has blessed? Let that resonate in who you are. How can I curse what God has blessed? I'm trying to help us through the Holy Spirit to walk this road fearlessly. Fearlessly, we don't want to live a lesser life, balled up in a corner, afraid. I just got a picture of my cat at home. One time, I opened the door, new cat ran outside. I just spanked it up a bit. Now I leave the door open. That cat will look outside. That cat will look outside and wouldn't take a step. Edit that, please. What I'm trying to say is, we are free. Fear that's hold us in bondage. Don't give the enemy no credit for what's going on in your life. What did James says? Count it all joy when you fall into various temptation, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Church, when you see Ronaldo in a situation, you pray patience over me. You say, Father, I pray for the fruits of the Spirit over Ronaldo. Give him long suffering that he may endure to be crowned with glory. Don't take him out of that furnace, Lord, because you are his shield. You plan his day. Let me get on your page and pray for these fruits to be developed in his life. Let's walk where God is at. Let's walk where God is at. Listen, if God give you a sword to wield it and you cast it and bind it out, obey what's on your heart and let it be unto God. Same thing I'm doing here today, sharing to you what God gave me to share. We are on a road that God says is we're guaranteed to make it. Says he'll never leave you, Josh. Doesn't that sound good? Hallelujah. When everybody else gone, in the noonday hour, the midnight hour, the dawning hour, God says, I'm still with you. When it don't look right. And I remember Jesus telling the disciples, jump in the boat, let's go to the other side. Then he go and take a nap. Storm break up. You know what I mean? All disciples start to panic. Lord, Lord, don't you care about us? Jesus says, ye of little faith, peace, be still. And you know what the disciples said afterwards? Who is this? Even the wind and waves listen to him. See, these were men who was taught in the books of Moses. Had they, most assuredly I say to you, had they, if anyone keeps my word, shall never see death. Had they had kept God's word, this is the same God who told the water in the Genesis, I set your boundaries from here, you cross no more. This is him who separate everything from creation. This is the same God who is speaking to the wind and the waves as he did in the beginning. But they forgot God's word. They even forgot the fact that God says, Jesus says, we're going to the other side. See, sometimes we just have, Jesus says, ye of little faith. Sometimes we have to exercise our faith in the midst of these storms. Just grab onto the boat and say, Lord, I know you're here with me. And if I sink, I sink. I'm just saying. If I sink, I sink. But my life is in your hands. See, because death has no dominion over me. I want you to understand what Jesus was doing when he liberated us from death. If death is the enemy's greatest weapon, then everything in between has no effect. If his greatest weapon don't have no effect on you, like Jesus says, I know the blacksmith who formed the weapon, and he's never made a weapon that can hurt you. Maybe misquoted, but it's accurate. If death is the enemy's greatest weapon, then the little pokes that God step back and says, go ahead, I want to show Ronaldo something. Poke him, pinch him, whip him. Because I want him not to rely on his flesh. Do you know our Lord and Savior Jesus endured the worst physical suffering there was? And it was the enemy's best just to bring fear in to try to break him? That's what the poking and prodding for. It's trying to get you to denounce what you believe. But God says he's going to finish what he started. See, this is a tough place to walk at. But God says it's necessary. Because I showed you the way home. Now, I want you to change the way you think on your way home. Because I can't have a slave mentality in the palace. You can't be thinking as if you're still under bondage. He says, now change the way you think. Repent. You're coming home to me. Get your mind right because you're royalty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's take back. You know what? Let's not even give the enemy what he wants to steal some time. Instead of casting him down, thank the Lord for who he is in your life. Give that time to the Lord. See, the enemy can't fight against himself. If he poke you and every time he poke you, Jesus come out. I mean, you know, that's like helping you to praise the Lord. He may have to stop poking you. I don't know. I don't know. That'll be fighting against yourself. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord says about us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed is the man who walked not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters, that bring forth his fruits in seasons, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. The prospering part or the blessed part? You get the blessings in verse 1 and all the rest is yours. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 1. Balaam cannot curse what God has blessed. Balaam is representing Satan people. You know, the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. Here's the weapon Satan has. In the garden, when God says man is cursed, that's where Satan has his power. When God liberated you, he took every power from Satan because you're not Satan's own no more. You are a blessed nation by the Lord, one that he fights for, one that he provides for, one that it's even greater than a nation because he treats us like little children. Picks us up, brush us off, spank us on the butt sometime and continue walking. Go play. Walk home with this mindset of the love I have for you. Oh, we're so blessed in Christ. We're so blessed in Christ. We are so blessed in the Lord. One of Miles Monroe's greatest scriptural sayings is, as a man thinketh, so is he. So here's what God's saying, change the way you think. You see, your doing only is based on your thoughts. It's your belief that's manifesting out of you. He says, change the way you think. I'm not worrying about all your remorsefulness, your crying and stuff like that, repenting of what you're doing. He says it's greater than that. You have to know John. I love John. John, he has such an intimate relationship with the Lord. His name means beloved or gracious. And he's the one that the Bible records lied on God's chest. He was the disciple at God's love. And John says, that which we behold, that which we look upon, that which we touch, we bring to you. He wrote some of the most intimate testimonies of the Lord. But this is what he says in 1 John chapter 4. Love has been made perfect among us in this, that we have great boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. He says, listen, when God come to judge, there's going to be some judge and some rewarded. He says, where's your mindset is? He wants you to get excited on the day of judgment. Know that you are an image bearer of Christ. He's working with your thought process. He says you're going to have great boldness. See, he's telling you on this road that you're walking on, have great boldness on it. You ain't a slave no more. You are royalty. You are royalty, he's saying. Have great boldness on this road that you're walking on. Let me prove it to you. On the day of judgment, as Christ is, so are you. And guess what he says? If you understand, or if you know the love the Father have for you, he says, there's no fear in love. Whew. Man, the love God have for you drives your fear out, because you know his gentle, intimate. Views towards you. Says, I know the plans I have for you. His plans say, it's not to hurt you. Whew. Come on, man. Hear what John's saying. Boldness on the day of judgment, because the love God have for you should cast out all fear. The love God have for us makes you just want to cry down at his feet and really just thank him, because you know what he's doing on your behalf. Perfect love casts out all fear. John says, if you believe this, you're going to walk with a boldness. If you believe this, you're going to be an aggressive minister for the Lord. You're going to live the abundant life. Not the lesser life. See, you are holding bondage by the fear of death. But he says, if you know that you're liberated for the love the Father has for you, fear has no dominion over you. He says, now you're going to live the abundant life. Because you not only know that his gift is irrevocable from you, I am royalty. So here's what a disciple like Paul would say. If this earthly tent is destroyed, God has a building in store for me. So if I live, it's for the Lord. And if I die, whoopee, I claim my inheritance, resurrected body, full salvation. He says, perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That means we're struggling to believe the love that God has for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the gist of it is that God freed us from the fear of death. He freed us from the enemy's greatest weapon. Jesus took his best blow, got up, brushed it off, and said, "You got nothing. Where is your sting?" And then he turns around and tells you, "You'll never experience death." That's what he says. Death to God is really separation from him. Let's face it. If you're not with God, you're with the enemy. So he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So I can tell you, you'll never experience death again. So he's saying, do you believe that? Do you believe? See, if you don't believe that, then you're going to still have fear of judgment. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord even for what he's brought here today, because this is a part of his molding and shaping. And I thank the Lord for those who he brought here today, because he wanted to place this in your hearing. And I truly know that because it's in your hearing, he's going to give it an increase. One of the secrets of the Lord is that all this we spoke about today, the first thing we want to do is go and apply this to our life. That ain't how it works. Paul says, after being with the Spirit, you're now trying to go apply this to your life. You're trying to do this by the flesh. No, we receive heaven's best by asking God. This is how we prepare our heart. We go before the Lord and, "Father, I'm here. Allow your word to take root inside of me, that it may manifest in this earth." See, when you got saved, it happened spiritually, and all of a sudden, everybody else could see it. It's the Holy Communion. It's talking to the Lord. It's being able to go before your Father and leave your heart right then. If you don't, Lord, nobody else will. If you don't give me an increase, Ronaldo can plant all he want. It comes from you, Father, not even from me doing. What must I do to work of the Father? Believe in him whom he sent. God says this is what he did with belief. He took belief and he says, "Those who come to me must believe that I am." So here's what happened. He says, the mere fact that you're here, you're activating belief. You're doing the work of the Father. It's the Mary and the Martha syndrome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Hallelujah. Let us rest on our feet. And I just want to be obedient to what I believe God is doing here. I just thank the Lord for your faces. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you have a special prayer, if there's something on your heart today, I want you to talk to the Lord about it right now. If you are an unsaved person, then I want you to come here and let me talk to the Lord on your behalf. But make no mistake, God wants you in his presence. Nobody in between. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to come down at his presence so his glory, the radiance of him, would be all over you. Hallelujah. 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 Let us pray.
I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this message. Know that God loves and cares for you deeply. You know, we all have struggles in our life, tough times, and much more. But God is about to do great things in your life. Remember the scripture found in Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's your season for breakthrough. Don't give up. Don't stop. Trust God to bring you through. God bless you.
I would like to take the time to thank all listeners of the Lily Kojic Podcast. I pray that you or someone close to you was truly blessed by the messages that we bring to you weekly. As we go forward, we ask that you share the podcast with as many people as possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 states, "So neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God gives the increase." Our goal is to expand this ministry to reach more people with the good news of the gospel. You can help us achieve that goal by supporting us with a donation of any amount. We have a donation button located on our podcast page that allows you to support this ministry. Thank you, and God bless.